Hello, I am Jericho and I am welcoming you to the THC show. Today is May 11th, Monday. It's 7 p.m. This is season 2, episode 6, and I thank you all for joining the show. And today's topic is ritual. I'd like to discuss the spectrum of ritual. I'd like to discuss the ways in which ritual has been used by humanity since written history has been recorded. And I'd also like to discuss ways in which we all participate in public ritual, some collective ritual, sometimes known, sometimes unknown, such as some of the rituals that are done on television, maybe in sports games and different things like that. Some of the things that we do at the movies and on TV and things like that, we actually don't even recognize and realize sometimes while we're doing them that these are actually rituals. I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk a little bit about how ritual can be used to keep society in order. I'd like to talk a little bit about how ritual can be used for discipline. Ritual can be used on yourself to program yourself the same way that ritual was used to program you the way that you are now. The bottom line to this whole discussion is to learn, for those of us who don't know, and to learn how to use ritual to facilitate higher consciousness in yourself. And for those of you who are attending the show and have any ideas on this that want to participate, please feel free to throw your ideas out here, because we're all just trying to learn and grow, and we all want to benefit from this collective dialogue that is our collective story. You know, we're all trying to achieve higher consciousness here, and anything that you have to bring to the table on the matter is definitely more than welcome. So please, please do so. That being said, I'm gonna take just a moment here to take a pause and do something on my computer that I need to do. And then we will continue this in just a minute. Let's see. Okay, so I think one of the first things that we want to do is we want to talk about the ways in which ritual has been used historically. Historically, ritual has always been something that was that was in the realm of the shaman or the priesthood or the clergy or the medicine men or women of the village or the tribe. There's always been some form of coming of age rituals, and these were usually prescribed by the elders in the village or even the clergy and priesthood. Once again, you know, there's a coming of age ritual in most societies. In our society, at least in the United States, there are many different rituals and that are coming of age rituals. And I'm not sure that they facilitate the same end result that some of the coming of age rituals facilitated in other societies prior to ours. But we all have them. And the functions that they serve, you know, like I said, vary. But what I'd like to do is talk about some of the rituals that we all experienced coming up that programmed us to be a certain way, to recognize things a certain way, and to become, it's like almost like for one, like social order is facilitated through the use of ritual very, very often. Like even something as simple as shaking hands. When you see someone, you shake their hand. that's just a ritual, and it's a ritual that kind of organizes society and social, you know, and social settings. Even if you just to meet somebody, you give them a mwah, mwah, or you give them a hug, or, you know, there's so many different ways that we do things on a daily basis that are actually ritualistic behaviors that are not necessarily ceremonial, but they're ritualistic in a way that they are programming us. So the same way that we have been programmed by ritual, some of the things that we've used ritual for, some of the things that we have become because of ritual are good, and some of them are not. So what I'd like to do is discuss and talk about ideas that any of us may have, including me, with regard to taking ritual and empowering yourself to use ritual to program yourself the way you want to be. So here's a good example. When we go to the restroom, but when we're watching television and the commercial comes on, there's a very, very big chance that many of us are gonna use that break in television to walk, you know, to the restroom and use it. And that can become a ritualistic thing. So I'm saying this to say that for me, I remember thinking that I won't be advertised to, and I refuse to allow any commercials to enter my psyche when I used to watch TV. I don't anymore, and that's just my personal preference. I'm not here to judge anybody that does, but when I did watch TV, I made it a very big point that I wouldn't be advertised to, and I used to turn off commercials or mute them, like, every single time. I refused to listen to commercials. When I did used to listen to the radio, like 20 years ago, I hated to have my whole day interrupted with the shock of a commercial that was 10 or 20 decibels louder than the song I just listened to. I refused to do that. So I had created a ritual of turning it down and muting it every single time. And I think that helped me a little bit because it removed the advertising element of the entertainment that I got. So then I got to a place where I started coming up with a ritual that would allow me to stop watching television altogether. And anytime I wanted to watch television or be entertained, I would grab a book or I would write a song. And that just became my ritual. So the point I'm getting at is that no matter what your ritual may be that you have now that has been embedded into your psyche and your programming for the course of 20 years or 30 years or however long you may have performed a certain action, every habit that you have is a ritual. So if you have habits that you are trying to discontinue, then creating a ritual is the key, or could be a major key, and allowing you to overcome the habit. So if, for example, you know, you get, like, I remember 20 years ago, I used to get home from work, or I used to leave work and I would get on a metro train in Chicago and I would head home. And every single day after work, I would buy a double rum and coke and drink it on the way home. Sit on my laptop with a double rum and coke every single day. It was my ritual. And today, while I don't drink, I had to come up with a ritual in order to discontinue the use of alcohol because it became such a habitual thing. So if, for example, alcohol was something that you wanted to discontinue using, or at least discontinue using on such a regular basis, then whatever ritual you are using to induce that activity, you have to come up with another ritual that causes you to want to perform something else instead. And you have to use discipline and willpower to perform that ritual. And it doesn't take long to replace it. See, whenever you're trying to quit a bad habit, you don't have to quit anything or fight anything. You just have to do something different. And if you do something different long enough, frequently enough, with frequency, higher frequency, then you know you're raising your frequency. But that becomes your new ritual, your new habit, your new program, your new lifestyle, your new personality. All of these things are correlated, you know. Do you want to change your frequency? Change the frequent, the how frequent you do something alters your frequency. So anyway, let's see. We want to check real quick and see if there's any comments that I didn't get a chance to get to yet. Oh, I see Stardust tuned in. Hey, Stardust, thanks for joining the show. Hey, we got some good friends in the house. So what we're doing now is talking about ritual and ways that we can use ritual to facilitate changes in our consciousness, changes in our lifestyle, changes in our habits. One thing, for example, that is a pretty ancient ritual that many people know about, maybe some of you don't, if you're not really into the magic sphere, is the ritual of smudging. Smudging is a way to clear negative energy from an area by burning sage and letting the sage smoke infiltrate the area while you are either intending mentally or intending vocally your intention or even your praise to certain deities or spirits or energies, or even asking and supplicating them to assist you in clearing the negative energy from the area. I mean, there's a lot of ways to go about doing this kind of ritual, and I don't believe there is a right way or a wrong way, but I'm just saying that it's an example of a ritual that is very, very age old. It goes back to when we were, you know, primitive, if you will, but I wouldn't use that term, but most people would understand ancient times as being that kind of thing. So for those of you who don't know about smudging, I would suggest looking it up on Wikipedia or looking it up and doing a little research on smudging, because there's actually a lot of confirmed experience from me personally with the use of smudging to clear a space, especially when you're clearing the space of negative energy for ceremony, for ceremonial purpose. If you don't have access to sage, which most people can get at your local, you know, crystal shop, or you can even order it on Amazon, Wish, wherever you shop at, you know, you can probably get it anywhere like that. They probably even sell it in most Walgreens and CVS's now, you know, I've seen it in a lot of places like that. There's also a special wood that is from South America called Palo Santo. And I guess it's named after St. Paul. And it has literally the most aromatic smell from a wood that I've ever smelled burning in my entire life. I love the smell of it. It smells so, so good. But it also has been used in a traditional sense to clear negative energies from a space, or also to use it as an incense as well. But it can also be used in place of sage for smudging, and so can other substances as well. It must be stated right here that there is no right or wrong way, in my opinion at least, to execute ritual. I think that someone rolling up some toilet paper in a knot and burning it and smudging with that could be just as, if not more powerful than someone smudging with sage. It's really more about your intention and what the ritual is actually doing to your thought processes and your psyche and your programming, because that's what it's really all about. Hey, I see my girl Lauren join. Good Lord. What's up, girl? How you doing? Really good to see you. That's my old roommate, y'all. I miss you, girl. Oh, my Chicago peeps in the house today. It's good to see y'all, man. So Tanya said, I instantly think of my need to cut the cord with someone who no longer serves me. Well, she said, what kind of ritual would you recommend? And Palo Santo's her favorite. Yeah, mine too. To cut the cord with someone who no longer serves you, I suggest a cord-cutting ceremony. You actually can do a ritual where you take a ritual knife, which is called an athame, athame, like this. This is a selenite athame dagger, if you will. Or you can even have like a crystal wand knife. It's really about the ritual, not necessarily so much about the actual tool. I mean, if you had a butter knife and that's all you had access to, it could suffice just as well as any other athame or tool. It's really about the intention. But having things that represent what you're intending make the ritual more powerful in your mind, and that's why I use certain tools, and many other people do as well. But you can, in a ritual, use an athame to cut the cord that you're talking about. And I would suggest you can give me a call. We can talk about how to perform this ritual or how to create your own unique ritual that's unique to you and your situation, which is what I recommend. I have never in my life performed anyone else's ritual without altering it and making it my own. If I did have to do that, I believe that a ritual has the intention of the person who created it. And if you're going to do that ritual, you're not thinking in your mind exactly what they were thinking. You have your own intention. So I suggest taking bits and pieces and elements and structure or whatever from other people's rituals and then figuring out how to apply these rituals to yourself so that the symbolism involved in that action means a certain thing to you. Because that's how this works. See, ritual is like this. It's a powerful tool to program human psyches, and you know, it's something that I would advise anyone who is interested in higher consciousness to study. Not necessarily anything magical or this or that, but to study ritual. Just study the people who, the philosophers and the geniuses who have came analyzing humans and our ritualistic behaviors and practices and who expound on that and talk about that so that we understand how ritual works and how it works in our psyches and how we can program ourselves with it. I think it's very, very important for people to understand that because the more you understand about how ritual works, the more powerful your own rituals will become because your intention will be a lot more precise and it will hold meaning. The symbols that you use will hold more meaning than they would if you don't understand these things with ultimate clarity. So, Tanya, if you have someone that you from your past that you would like to cut the cord with, then I would suggest doing a cord cutting ritual. And the very act of ceremonializing your intention is, I want to cut this cord, I want to get this person out of my heart, out of my life, out of my mind. Okay, so you need to do something that to you says God is here or the spirits that I want to be here, my ancestors, I mean, whoever your higher ups may be. You want something that signifies to your mind, signifies to your autopilot, to your programming, signifies to your autopilot that what you're doing right now is being recognized by my highest good, that my highest version of myself, by God, by the gods, by the spirits that matter, that any being that has anything to do with my consciousness. And it's in the welfare of my consciousness, needs to recognize in this act that I'm doing right now that I'm cutting this cord. Just the very act of saying that and doing that has an effect on one's psyche. Whether you realize it or not, it does. See, when you go to church or when people say they go to mass and they do there's a ritual being done, and this ritual may have meaning to the priest. That's a certain thing that goes on in his head when he sees this collective ritual being performed by everyone in his church. But what about that 5-year-old kid, that 7-year-old kid that's
they're with their grandparents and they don't really understand this religion. They don't know anything about the Bible. They're just doing this ritual. What does it mean to them? Probably not much. But they are doing the ritual, and in a collective manner, they're giving their power to the ritual as a whole. So the more people that you can get to attend the ceremony of you cutting this particular cord, the more powerful it will be in your psyche. It doesn't mean that there's actually more power being given to the cutting, because the cutting is simply a decision in your mind that that cord is cut. But you have built up habits of emotion and habits of feeling and thinking a certain way about this person that things can trigger a certain feeling or memory or a vibe or a vibration, you know? So when you have this powerful of a ceremony with several people who care about you, who love you, who want to help you get over that connection and cut it, you have five of your closest friends that all get together. You don't have to have any plant medicines. You don't need anything like that. You don't have to have any. See, people think that that ritual and ceremony has to require something that's mind altering, but you actually don't need anything like that. You just have, I mean, you can use some of these things, but you don't need them. You just need to make a decision and back it with symbology and back it with symbols. A symbol of this is done there. It's happened. It's just like getting married. You know, when I do thee wed, that very phrase, that's a ritual. Why is that? Why does he have to say that? Because it takes away the power of creativity here. It takes away anyone's power to disagree with exactly how this has to go down. And if everything's done by ritual, then it keeps a certain social current moving, and that's how we keep societies together. But when you are in a toxic society, or when you are in a toxic community, and the rituals there are keeping a toxic social order in place, it might behoove you to do rituals that will allow you to be different, to think outside of the box, and to live outside of the box. And this is where witches and shamans and magic practitioners come in, because they might not want to bow down to the social order that they live under, and that maybe even their family adheres to and their friends adhere to, but they might not want to be beholden to that. So they do rituals to take their own mind out of the grasp and grip of that mental construct, which is what I personally have done in my life. So, and I can't recommend for anyone to do a certain thing, but if someone wanted to follow in those footsteps or follow in that path learn to step outside of the mental constructs that we were all engendered with growing up, there's ways to do that. And it doesn't have to require anything necessarily of the spirit realm or contacting beings, or it doesn't have to have anything to do with plant medicines or any mind-altering substances. It's really just a matter of, it can be simply a matter of meditating on something and creating and performing a ritual that you create. This doesn't have to have anything to do with any religion or any faith. It has to do with your mind and you creating a ritual. Think about this. When you wake up in the morning, your teeth are white. If your teeth are white, it's because coming up as a kid, you were taught a ritual called toothbrushing. It's a ritual. I mean, toothbrushing is a general practice, but you have your way of brushing your teeth the same way every time, just like most people do. And it's a ritual. So ask yourself something. What would you like to do? What would you like to be a symbol of you cutting the cord? And it doesn't have to be like anyone else's cord cutting ritual. It could just be your own. But I would advise to go online and type in cord cutting ritual and read the first two or three tangents that you come across, and see where it takes you, and it'll give you ideas on performing your own ritual for your own cord cutting ceremony. And I guarantee you, if you do this, you will be free. And the only person that can set you free is you doing a cord cutting ritual. And it doesn't necessarily have to be called that. But it takes something like that in order to free your mind and free your heart. let's see. Tanya said, I've never understood ritual so clearly as now. Thank you, such a powerful tool. Well, I'm so glad that, you know, you understand it better now. And I hope that you even, you know, go further. Like, I tell you what's a really good thing to do, man. And I know that Wikipedia has a lot of misinformation about a lot of things, especially when it comes to political things and whatnot and big pharma. But when it comes to philosophy and when it comes to like things like abstract thought and things like that, like ritual, like the Wikipedia entry for ritual and ceremony are actually really, really thought-provoking reads that I would suggest people read after the show, maybe if you want to get more into this. Let's see. Whoa, wait, where are the rest of the comments at? I can't see them all. That sucks. Okay, so long story short, a couple of other things that I wanted to touch on. Well, for one thing, Tanya, if you have any, oh, I see Brianna Manso joined the show. She said, hello. Hello, Brianna. Thank you for joining the show. Appreciate you for joining in from out there in California. And we hope that you're enjoying this conversation we're having about ritual. Anyone who wants to join into the conversation, please post it in the comments. And as soon as I see it, I will definitely remark and say something to you. So
ritual and ceremony are actually.
Let's see. Where we at now? Okay. So one of the things that I wanted to mention was how exactly like what ritual is. The actual definition of ritual is a religious or solemn ceremony consisting of a series of actions or words performed according to a prescribed order. Now that's a pretty generic, you know, definition of ritual, but just so you have a definition of it in your mind of what that is. And a definition for ceremony would be a formal act or ritual, often set by custom or tradition, performed in observation of an event or anniversary or some calendrical event. So with that in mind, we have to understand that there's a spectrum of ritual practice that ranges from the profane to the mundane and everything in between. And I can't stress enough how important it is for anyone wanting to participate in ritual, especially the newcomer to ritual, the people who are not that experienced in ritual. I think it's very important for those people to know and understand that there is no right or wrong way to create your own ritual. I won't say that there aren't any unwise ways to go about it. There probably are, and there's some really good ways to go about it. So there's better or worse probably, but there is no wrong. I don't like to use that word when it comes to magic and when it comes to ritual or religion, I mean, or ceremony, because it's really about your psyche, and it's really about your use of the law of attraction and what you're focusing your consciousness on. So whatever symbol will be the most powerful symbol for you to use to make you focus your mind on what you want to focus your mind on, that's the right way. And that might not be right for me. My way might not be right for you. Maybe maybe an athami is something you would never cut a cord with. Maybe a dagger is something, Tanya, you might never cut a cord with. Maybe you would only cut a cord with scissors. So in your ritual, maybe you'll need a pair of scissors. You know, like if I was a seamstress and I sewed all day and I always used scissors all day rather than I never ever really touched a knife. Maybe I couldn't cook and I just never had a reason to touch a knife, but I touched the scissors every day. That would have a more powerful symbolism to me. So maybe in my ritual, I would use a pair of scissors and cut an actual cord, take a string, write his name on the string. Like, I mean, there's a lot of ways to go about doing a ritual that cuts the cord on a past, you know, romance or a past friendship or whatever. You know, there's ways to do that. I've had to do it myself. I probably need to do a few more just, you know, because that's a good thing to do when you're moving forward in life and trying to grow and rise in consciousness. Some friends are forever And some are for a season and some are for a reason. And those ones that are just there for a reason, they're still trying to hang on, you got to get rid of them. I mean, especially, I mean, you don't have to get rid of them, but if it's something that you have moved past and they're keeping you focused on something you don't want to be focused on anymore, then it makes sense to cut the cord. And that's just that. So, you know, all ritual is characterized in some way by a form of ritual. So, I mean, by some form of symbolism. So making something a symbol for something that you want to take action on is what ritual is about. Making a symbol. So you want to cut a cord, get a symbol of the cord and get a symbol of a tool to cut it with, put that together into your ritual, and I'm pretty sure you'll be okay after that. If you have any questions, you know, you got my number, call me, hit me up anytime, and, you know, we'll set up a time when I can sit down and talk to you a little bit more about it if you need my help on this. If not, then good luck with everything, and I'd love to hear how it goes after you're done with that. So now back to where I was. So let's see. I mean, you know, another thing I meant to mention too when I was talking about ritual was that, you know, when we were kids at school and we had to stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance, we were participating in a ritual. And, you know, it's 300 million people in the United States when I was a kid. And 300 million people all participating in a ritual every morning, that's a lot of power. It's a lot of consciousness power being directed into the United States government, the United States as a country, you know. Even like every football game, the Star Spangled Banner being sung, everybody standing up at attention to it, you know. Even if you're not singing, just to stand up and be a part of it, you're participating in the ritual. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, how many times a day you participate in ritual that you don't even think about that this is ritual. Every single, like, you know, honestly, if someone cuts you off in traffic and every time that happens you do this right here, that's a ritual. That's your ritual of saying, fuck you. It's a symbol to say, you cut me off, you dickhead. You know what I mean? So bottom line I'm getting at is that it's really, really useful to start understanding ritual and start paying attention to how you participate in ritual. And as you start to watch this more, you're going to start realizing that you are used in other people's rituals a lot more than you would ever possibly have imagined without, you know, before we started paying attention to this. So I recommend people to start paying attention to how we're being used in ritual. Every time you're watching TV, there's so much ritualistic stuff going on. In movies that you watch, there's so much ritual being going on. You have no idea. I mean, and there's a lot of magic there's a lot of magic going on TV and movies and sports arenas and things like that, that people are participating in it that they don't even realize they're participating in. It's really crazy. But it's real. So just pay attention. So let's see. Stardust said, Muggles call them routines or schedules. I call them rituals. Ha, right? Exactly. Muggles, I love that word. Stardust said, candles are wonderful for rituals and candle magic. And I agree. I mean, I can't imagine personally having a ceremony without a candle. I have. I mean, if I have no other choice, but I kind of want a candle there just to represent the element of fire. If you're going to use all four elements to be represented at a ceremony that you do. I always recommend to people doing ceremonies to call in the elements, because elemental energies can really be of great assistance to humans who are trying to see their intentions come to fruition. So Stardust also said, Tan, use the fire element to assist you in letting go of what's holding you back. Ask your spirit guides, God, your ancestors to help. Exactly like I was just saying. You know, that's a really good idea. So I would suggest talking a little bit to Stardust, Tata, about the rituals that you're trying to perform. I'm pretty sure she'd have some ideas to help out on that. So let's see. Basically, we're using the law of attraction 24 hours a day. Anytime we're thinking a thought, which is all the time, sleeping or not, anytime you're thinking a thought, you're using the law of attraction. So why not? We love you too, Tom. She says she loves you guys. So why not use the law of attraction deliberately more often than you're using it without intention, without deliberate purpose? And the way to go about using the law of attraction on autopilot is to reprogram your autopilot. And the best way to reprogram your autopilot is through ritual. I'll give you a good example of why this kind of thing is important. Let's suppose when you were growing up, every time your mother made a mistake and your father made a mistake, they would say, "Damn it, I'm so stupid. Why did I do that?" If you heard your mother say that 1,000 times while you were growing up, how likely is it that whenever you make a mistake, you say the words out of your mouth, "Damn it, I'm so stupid. Why did I do that?" Now, you're giving voice. Every time you do this, it's like a ritual now. And it's a powerful ritual that you may not realize is a self-defeating powerful ritual, because you're saying the words out of your mouth, "I'm so stupid." Now, you might not want it to be true that you are stupid, but the actual vocalizing of such a statement, especially with emotion behind it, and if you just did something stupid that made you mad, you say, "Oh, I'm so stupid." You're pouring emotion, negative emotion, into the fact that you're stupid. I promise you that can't help you. I promise you that's not a good thing. You want to replace that ritual with a new ritual. So every time you stub your toe or do something stupid, every time you do something that's a mistake, say something different. And that comes with willful intention and practice, but it starts with making a ritual. Make a ritual that says, "From now on, when I do this, I'm never going to say anything negative about myself again. I'm always going to say something that is positive and that is motivating and that is inspiring." And come up with a catchphrase. Make it a symbol. It could be one word, you know, "Bravo," whatever. Make it whatever word, one word. And every time you have any accident or mistake, you say that word instead. And the ritual that you perform, that ceremony, is where you pack that word full of the intention that is going to come out when you say it. So you take a ceremony, use it to pack the word full of positive intention about how I never make a mistake. I'm so intelligent. I'm so genius. And now you pack it all into that word in a ceremony and a ritual that gives power to that symbol now, that symbol. So when you have an accident or a mistake and you use that symbol, all of the power from that ceremony comes back every time you say it. You only have to do the ceremony one time. And every time you use the symbol, the power is in it. And this is how talismans and medallions and amulets and different things that have been ritualized and enchanted, that's how they work. Because you only have to do that symbol, you only have to do the ceremony once. And once I've done a ceremony to enchant my pen, this is my ink pen, it was a gift, thank you Stardust, birthday gift. But this I used to write my poetry and write in my journal and write my spells with. So if I want my highest creativity to come out of my hand and my pen and my mind every time I write with this pen, I can boost that probability by ritualizing this pen, by enchanting this pen with my highest good, my highest creativity, my highest thoughts and desires for what I want to come out of my ink pen. And if I do that and I have a ceremony, a whole entire ceremony just to do that, how much more powerful will my writing be? When every time I touch this pen, the memories and the power and the energy of that ceremony is going to come and be in my memory and my psyche. It works. And it's really not got, it doesn't have anything to do with any spirits or magic. It's really, we could call it magic, but it's not magic. It's science. There's a science behind how the brain works, how the mind works, how the consciousness works, how it stores information, and how we operate every day on autopilot. There's a ritual to your life, and that's your autopilot. And if your autopilot has you in a sad state of affairs right now, it's because of your programming, your autopilot, the programs that you run when you're not thinking, which is 95% of the time you're not thinking, you're running on autopilot. Every time you get in your car and drive, you probably remember 1 or 2 minutes of the trip. Most of the trip, we're on autopilot. And you learned how to drive a car so well because you did it and did it and did it and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced until you got so good at it that now you don't even have to think about it. You just do it. And life works the same way. So if you are doing the same thing over and getting a negative result, the only way to change your life and get a positive result is you have to change the ritual. You have to change your programming. And the best way to change your programming is through powerful ritual. So you need to find a symbol of whatever you want to remove, cut it out of your life with a symbolic sword or dagger or knife or scissors or something, and watch how quickly the elemental spirits, your ancestors, God, whoever in the spirit realm has your back that you call upon, watch how quickly you can be helped. Watch how quickly you can make change in your life and in your programming by just ritualizing what you'd like to intend. And I mean, it's really, really, really that simple. I mean, a lot of people are scared of magic and they call it, you know, of the devil, and this is because they don't understand it. I don't call magic anything that to me isn't understood. I understand exactly what I'm doing. It's a science. It's a science, a technology, and I can't imagine not using that technology once it's understood. It makes no sense to not use it because other people are scared of a science that they don't understand. I can completely remember when I did not understand magic. I thought it was some mumbo jumbo, go with people crazy, you know? And so I want to qualify that statement with this. Someone said, I think Carl Sagan, someone said that basically, I can't, and I'm not going to quote this verbatim, but the statement is something like the technological advancements of a superior civilization would appear as magic to a lesser civilization, which is true. If I took a lighter and I went back to, say, the Native Americans 300, 400 years ago, when I took a lighter in my hand and I clicked it and a fire came out of my hand, I think people might be taken aback and they'd be like, oh, he's a fire starter. He started fire from his hand. They would think that it's magic, because even though we understand the technology going on here with the gas and the butane, they might not have understood that, and that might have appeared as some wizard. And it's the same, you know, thing with this consciousness thing we're talking about here. If someone understands consciousness enough to alter their physical body, to alter the atoms in their body, to become light as air and levitate off of the ground, most of us would look at that based on the programming that we have. We don't have an understanding of how to execute that. So to us, it's magic. And we would be scared of it. We fear what we don't understand. But I'm here to say that if I see someone levitating, at this point in my understanding of reality and how to manipulate that with your consciousness, with your conscious thought and intention, I would no longer be fearful of that. I understand that it's possible and how to make it happen. And I understand how to sit in a 30-degree cave and meditate for 5 hours and not die of frostbite. There's a way to heat your body up with your mind. These things are not magic. They're possible, and it's possible for anyone to do. No matter who your God is, no matter if you worship the devil, it doesn't matter if you are atheist, anyone can use their mind to affect change in their life, to affect change in their body, to affect change in the world around them. You are the center of your universe, and your thoughts determine what pulls your way, what magnetizes to you. So not having ritual as a part of your life is only going to be a detriment to you and your goals. Because if you have goals and you aren't using ritual to attain those goals, then you're short. You're shorting yourself. That's really no other way I can look at that. Let me see here. I think I was missing a comment or two. So Stardust says, yes, the power of words and language is astonishing. I love to help people curb the way they speak, especially about themselves. Even if you're just kidding, it does damage to say anything negative, even just one word. I wholeheartedly concur with that statement. Everything that you say has a repercussion. there's going to be a consequence for everything that comes out of your mouth, whether it's good or bad, and whether you know that or not, you don't even, whether you believe this or not, is of no consequence. There is a certain construct of the matrix and of reality, and the human consciousness and what it does and says has an effect on that matrix, whether you believe that or not. So if you don't understand that that has an effect on the matrix and on reality, before you laugh at it and say, oh, that sounds crazy, try to understand it. Do some research into how that's possible. How is it possible that the consciousness can affect reality? Well, I know one of the things I've talked about on my show before that may put this in proper perspective is there is a there's a Japanese scientist who did some experiments using water. And I've talked about him on the show before. And it's been called pseudoscience and all of that, but it's not pseudoscience. You can do this in your own home. Go get you a microscope. It's not hard to do. This was Dr. Masaru Emoto. He did some experiments exposing glasses of water to various words, pictures, music, and he would write, I love you on a glass, or I hate you on a glass, and the water would be from the same source, so that the molecules in each glass should look similar or very, very much alike. And instead, the water molecules that had I love you or positive messages written on the glass looked drastically different from the ones that had I hate you or something negative written on the glass. The ones that had something negative were all jagged and incongruent. And the ones that were in a positive message glass said something, I mean, had very, very perfectly symmetrical, beautiful water molecules that looked like snowflakes. And so this really, really simple experiment that anyone can do is conclusive. I mean, and there's thousands of people around the world that have done this conclusively and posted their results online. This is not a if, ands, or buts. This is 100% absolutely. This is a fact that cannot be disputed. Water molecules are altered by the way you think. And if a water molecule is altered by the way you think, then that means matter. This reality is altered by your consciousness. And if your body is 80% water, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that saying something negative about yourself is altering yourself. So when you say, I'm stupid, or damn, I hate myself, why would you say something like that after knowing what words do to water molecules and you're mostly water? Really, really think about that. That's real. And I can't stress enough how important it is to start guarding your tongue. You know, that's why Jesus said, and I might have even mentioned this on the show back in a previous episode, where the Sadducees and Pharisees came up to Jesus condemning him about drinking out of a cup that wasn't washed or ritually cleansed before he drank out of it. And he said to them, it's more important to watch what goes out of your mouth than what goes into your mouth. And I took that to mean something probably more than some people might, but to me it meant that one who has reached and attained Christ consciousness has the ability to drink poison that won't even hurt them if what's coming out of their mouth is proper. And I believe that. I believe that Jesus probably, you know, could have. I mean, someone who has attained Christ consciousness can cannot be harmed by anything that they don't want to be harmed by. And I really believe that. And I think that this is one of the reasons why people pray for their food, and why we call praying for your food giving thanks. I mean, if you pray for your food, why does that have to be giving thanks? Because giving thanks is appreciation, and appreciation is love. And love is going to alter the water molecules in that food and make them more beautiful, more healthy. And that's what I believe is the original ritualistic source of what we call praying and giving thanks, especially for food. So with that said, I definitely want you to check out, if you haven't seen it already, you can go to YouTube and watch videos like Science of Miracles 81 is one account that posts some of his stuff. But just check out Dr. Masaru Emoto, M-A-S-A-R-U, and then M-E-O-T-O. This guy posted a whole lot of his experiments, and I mean, you got to see it for yourself. It's mind-blowing. And it's one thing to see his, but if you got a microscope at home or access to one or got somebody who got one or can get one cheap, like, go get a microscope and do this experiment for yourself, because there is nothing like seeing scientific proof for yourself. What that can do for your psyche, what that can do for your understanding and your programming is phenomenal. When you see something like this, when you see an actual water molecule change because you thought a thought at the molecule, because you told a water molecule, I hate you, and then you saw the water molecule's molecular crystalline structure be altered by that, that shows you how powerful you are. And you might feel like a magician after that. And if you don't understand the science behind it, then call yourself a magician. Yeah, it's the same thing, but it's not really. A magician is nothing but a scientist who understands a science that you don't get yet. So don't condemn it. I'd say get with it, personally. But anyway, that's another story. I definitely wanted to just bring that up because it's really, really important to understand how powerful our words are. And I felt like going off on that tangent about Dr. Emoto would really help demonstrate how important your words are. So think about that. And when you're creating your ritual, it's really to do whatever you want to do, it's really important to pay attention to the words you're using and making sure your intentions are in those words. Because words are very, very powerful, you know? Let's see. So Tanya said, that's so dope. Yeah, I think so too. I'm really, really glad that we're having this conversation here. I'm really, really hoping that if anybody has any ideas or any things that they do and that they've figured out on their own as far as ways to do rituals differently or make things more effective, like, I'm always open to new ideas on how we might be able to use more powerful symbols and how we're able to do things that might work a little more effectively and with regard to symbols and with regard to ritual. Please, if you know, put a comment down. I see there's like, you know, more people in the room now. If anybody wants to join the conversation, join the dialogue, or even steer it towards anything else that's, you know, close enough to this topic, I mean, feel free to jump in. I'm definitely trying to make this our conversation and not my conversation. So with that said, let's see. So we've basically talked about how to, you know, use ritual to climb out of the box of, you know, social construct ways of thinking. And I don't know really about what else, you know, I need to say to expound on exactly what ritual is and everything. I think that I've demonstrated exactly enough of the importance of ritual and the importance of ceremony. And I wanted to do this because I hope that many of you who have not been able to attend and watch this later, but also everyone who's attending right now live, I hope that everyone is able to come and tune in next week, same time, 7 p.m. Eastern, because I will be having my beloved Michelle Renee, who is going to do a cacao ceremony live on the show to demonstrate to people who might not be so ritually inclined what an average ritual might look like. And I just want to also stress that what we're going to do is one way and not the way, and that there are other ways and other avenues and other symbols and different elements to be added and taken away from any ritual. But for those who are just beginners in that kind of thing, it would help to see that take place, I think. And then especially for people who know me and trust me and kind of just want to see where I'm going with it, to kind of see how we get on with the ritual on the ceremonial side of things. So, I mean, most of my close friends have been in rituals with me. I've done rituals with most of my close friends. We've done different ceremonies and whatnot. So, I know that some of my closest friends are not new to this, but there's a lot of people in the group who are not close friends of mine. There's a lot of people in the group who I've never met before. So any of you guys that want to see a live ritual cacao ceremony with me and my beloved Michelle taking place, please tune in next Monday, 7 o'clock, and she will be here. We're going to spend some of the episode talking a little bit about cacao, talking a little bit about plant medicine, which cacao is a plant medicine. It's been used in ritual for thousands of years down in South America. And there's a lot of cacao shamans, you know, that you could find maybe in your area that might can help out with your own cacao ritual if you are not able to procure some cacao, which you probably could online, and do it yourself. But it helps to have someone who knows what they're doing and has kind of who has a background and a basis in this already, because it's actually, while not a psychedelic, cacao is a pretty powerful plant medicine that will open your heart and put you in a mental space of love and connection, and it's actually really powerful. You know, Tanya, I would recommend you to actually look into that. I think that might could help with what you're trying to achieve right now. Brianna said, how do we stay consistent with rituals we start? Well, I think that it helps to have a reminder. You can, you know, everyone's got a cell phone these days, so it's really, really easy to just set up an automatic reminder in your phone. Like I do that, like on a daily basis, I have rituals set up in my phone. Like, for example, I make it a ritual to call a friend every day. Every day, call some friend of mine that I haven't talked to in a while and say hi. Or a family member or somebody, just call someone, connect with someone in the world who I haven't talked to in a while and say hi, and do that once a day. Because I have a network of over thousands of people. I mean, I have a lot of people, and I can't possibly one person. I can't contact 1,000 people. You know, every year, it's just too many people. But if every day I call one person and say hi, I miss you, I love you, I ain't forgot about you, I'm just really, really busy, I got a lot going on right now, and I just don't want you to feel like I forgot about you. You know, I love you. All right, bye-bye. Have a good night. If I do that once a day, I feel like I'm connecting to my people. And so while I, you know, am not able to always remember that because days get busy and you get so, you know, hectic, it's in my phone. It pops up every day at 11 a.m. So I make that a ritual. So I would suggest that you put it in your phone. Have it posted in your car if you wanted to do a ritual where every day you're on the work, you chant something that, you know, how you want your day to go. Put it on your steering wheel. Put a sticker on your steering wheel. Write it on, I mean, whatever you have to do to put, like, for example, when I first started learning how to use the law of attraction and I had to keep my mind focused on appreciation all the time rather than thinking about all the negative things I used to think about, I went around my house. I used to live at 51st and Lowell in Chicago. And I mean, I had post-it notes all over my entire house, all over my computers, in my studio, in my basement. Everywhere I went, in my car, I had a post-it note that said, thank you, faith, appreciation. One of those messages everywhere I went, so that I trained myself using, that was, you know, every time I saw one of those, I just say thank you. I made it a ritual. And so there's a lot of ways that you can use to remind yourself. I'm going to just leave it at that and let you be creative, because you're an intelligent young woman who can make that happen for yourself. But once you create a ritual, you think about what's the best way to remind yourself to execute it on a regular basis, as consistently as you like, as frequently as you like. She said, also, what's the difference? Brianna Manso said, also, what's the difference between a ritual and a ceremony? I'm not sure how long you've been on, but a little while ago I defined them both. I'm going to do it again for you right now. So a ritual is defined as a religious or solemn ceremony consisting of a series of actions performed according to a prescribed order. And a ceremony is defined as a formal act or ritual often set by custom or tradition performed in observation of an event or anniversaries, or basically a ceremony contains ritual. You perform ritual during a ceremony, and a ceremony is something that can happen to commemorate a specific event It can be something that's regular, that's calendar based, like the new moon or the full moon or every, you know, equinox or any particular date of the calendar. Like we, every New Year's Eve, we drop a ball and we all kiss somebody. That's a ritual that we do every New Year's Eve. So the ritual is the kissing when the ball drops. The ceremony is the New Year's Eve party. The ceremony is the actual event. The ritual are the actions performed, and that would be the difference. So I hope that I made that clear. But like I said, anyone who doesn't, anybody who wants to get more info on ritual and ceremony, I think that the Wikipedia entries on ritual and ceremony are both pretty all-inclusive and very, very informational. I would advise y'all to read those if you want to get more up on this. Let's see. What else did I have to say? Well, for one thing, I think that it's really, really important. One thing I want to point out, this is about food and how we ritualize food. The purpose of this show is talking higher consciousness. We want to talk about higher consciousness because we're all on a journey this way, towards enlightenment, towards higher consciousness. And one of the first things I learned when I embarked on this journey was that I was partaking of a lot of foods that were preventing me from achieving higher consciousness. For example, my computer needs 110 volts of electricity in order to function properly. Now, if I plugged it into 100 volts, it would probably still work, but it might not work as efficiently. It might not work at all because I'm not giving it exactly the prescribed amount of electricity that this was designed to take in. Now, I'm not aware, and I'm not sure that anyone on the planet is aware, of the exact proper diet that would work for every single person on the planet. I think that this is something that everyone's a little different. We all have different chemistry. And, you know, some people are allergic to some things and this and that. So I'm not here to try to say what's right for everyone. What I'm here to say is that for me, some things are just not designed for my body. And when I cut out some of the things that were not designed for me, I was able to think more clearly. I was able to meditate more focused. I was able to not be as distracted and scatterbrained when I was sober and trying to focus my intent in meditation. So I feel like when you take out the things that are poisoning you, then your computer is going to run more efficiently. And if your computer is running more efficiently, then your consciousness is higher. So one of the biggest things that's necessary for people who are going to achieve higher states of consciousness is overcoming the bad food habits that we have attained because of ritual. For example, white sugar, anything distilled is pretty much not good for you. For example, white sugar, white flour, any breads made from enriched white flour, see, a wheat berry is not dangerous to you. But when you distill wheat berries into white flour, you have created a drug. That's why bread is addictive. And if you don't think bread is addictive and you eat bread, try to go 2-3 days without eating bread. And watch how addictive bread is. Not all bread. The only bread I eat is rye pumpernickel made with pure rye. It's not made with any kind of wheat at all, so there is no distilled substances in it. So it's not addictive. I can take it or I can leave it. But I remember when I first stopped eating white bread and when I first stopped eating wheat, I mean, it felt like I was quitting a drug. Like, it's like trying to stop sugar or something, because sugar's a drug. We know this. Sugar's just as addictive as cocaine. This is crazy. If you try to go 3 days without eating sugar, and watch how you feel and watch how your body reacts. Like, you might even get a headache because we're all, in this country at least, so addicted to sugar. It's in everything we eat. High fructose corn syrup is in almost all fast food, and many of us eat a lot of that. So the bottom line I'm getting at is that when we're able to cut out some of these distilled substances and get our body on track with proper nutrition that is not toxic, and that our body is going to operate at its maximum efficiency on, you're going to notice how easy it is for you to think, how much easier it is for you to think and not be distracted by ADD-like symptoms, which I feel are induced a lot by some of the things that we intake in our diets. Probably some of the electronic stimulation too, from TV and the way that commercials change every 3 seconds and how scenes change every 3 seconds. I think that has something to do with the advent of ADHD and ADD, but that's a whole nother topic to go off on. What I was trying to get at was that if people have bad eating habits like I had, one of the best ways to beat those habits is to reprogram yourself with ritual. And coming up with a ritual that you use to take your mind off of the addiction and focus it on something else that replaces the addiction, it's like you don't have to fight that, you just choose something else. Fighting something only makes it grow. But loving something new, now there's an idea. I suggest people take a look into that, you know. If you need any help or any questions about anything like that, I can give you what I did and what worked for me. That's the best I can do. And I mean, if I got any ideas for how people can help themselves, you know, quit certain foods, quit certain substances, you know, all I can tell you is this here. Everyone who knows me, I got several friends in the group right now. I got everyone in Chicago that knows me, who's known me well. I lived up here for 22 years, knows that I've spent more money on alcohol than most people you'll ever meet in your life. I've spent more money on weed and different substances than a lot of people even ever had the luxury to do. And so there is no one who could tell me anything about addiction and how addicted they were to something. I've been addicted to a lot of things. I was even addicted to sex in a way that I never thought I could overcome. But there's a way to use ritual and ceremony to overcome any addiction, anything. Anything can be overcome. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Now I'm at a place in my life where I don't do any drugs. I don't drink alcohol. I eat nothing but a pure vegan, raw, not always raw, but mostly raw vegan diet. I eat really, really good, healthy food that keeps my mind thinking. I wake up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning feeling like $1 million right now. I feel like a 5-year-old kid when I wake up sometimes. I'm so happy and ready to start the day because I'm not putting anything toxic in my body. Now, if you had told me 15 years ago that I would be at this state, I wouldn't have believed you. I'd have laughed you out of the kitchen because 15 years ago, hell, I would have ate some fast food. Well, maybe not 15, 17 years ago, I would have ate some fast food. I was still eating Big Macs and, you know, still drinking milk and still eating dairy, still putting things into my body that I feel now are toxic to my body. But I'm just trying to say that there's a way to end these habits, and ritual is the key. And that's why I made the topic of today's show ritual, because I wanted to bring this to the attention of the people in the group who might not be privy to this information. And so that next week, if you guys all tune in, when my beloved Michelle is going to join us on the show, and we're going to have a ritual ceremony, a cacao ceremony. And I hope that you guys all join the show, and we'll talk about how you guys will be able to, might be able to perform this, use cacao as a plant-based, as a plant medicine for your own rituals at home. And one of the reasons that I wanted to use cacao as a ceremony that we do on the show is because some of you guys and some of us are in places where some of the plant medicines that we might want to use in ceremony are not legal. And the last thing I'd want to recommend anybody to do is something illegal. I don't want anybody to end up behind bars because of some words that I said. So, cacao is something that is legal everywhere on the planet. And it's not psychedelic, but it is a plant-based medicine that will alter your heart and alter your mind and put you in a very, very relaxed, loving state. So, I recommend getting some and trying to do your own cacao ceremony. But if you want instruction on that, tune in next week, same bad time, same bad channel, and we'll get you some instruction from a professional cacao practitioner who has shown me more than once that cacao is powerful, and she's a plant medicine, a mother goddess that's here to help. So I'd like to, you know, introduce that to you guys. And let's see. Oh, you're welcome, Brianna. Brianna Manso said yes, thank you. So you're welcome. And Tanya said, let me see. Starter said, I recommend writing things down. Set reminders on your phone. Put post-it notes everywhere. Oh, yeah, I just read that, but I said the same exact thing. I agree 100%. And then Starter said, I helped you quit smoking tobacco. And I must say, you know, you did have a hand in that. You badgered me for about a year while you were working for me. Yeah, Stardust definitely did quit smoking about a year and a half before I did. And every single day, every time I lit up any tobacco, I definitely had to hear it from her. But, you know, speaking of tobacco, what actually made me quit, the final nail in the coffin that made it possible for me to quit, was a ritual ceremony. Actually, Stardust was present. And two other friends of mine in Chicago, we, four of us, was all together at a new moon ceremony. If I'm not mistaken, it was the 5th or the 7th of January last year, 2019. I believe it was January 5th. It was a new moon. And we did a ritual. We were on plant medicine. And, well, I did a ritual off to the side by myself. And I basically made the withdrawal symptoms leave me so that when I didn't smoke, I wouldn't have the withdrawal symptoms. My synapses would connect properly, and that's what happened. And after that ceremony, I had a pack of cigars sitting on my dresser for like 3 months, and I never touched them. And I never, ever, ever wanted to touch them, because the ritual that I did had so much consciousness power behind it that it worked, and it made it go away. So I'm just saying that to say that it's possible. If it's possible for me, it's possible for anybody. And I always have some ideas, you know, if anybody needs some assistance with trying to overcome any habits or anything. I can't promise any miracles, but I definitely know that I can assist as best I can. I'll give you some ideas, and you can, you know, run with it and do your thing, you know. Sorry, I forgot to turn the light on a little while ago. But, so, we've been on for a while now. It's about a little bit over an hour, and I'm thinking I'm going to wrap it up pretty soon because we do need to wake up early, and it's getting close to my bedtime. So, I would just like to say thank you to everyone who joined the show. I love you guys. You guys are the shit. Thanks for joining the show. And be on the lookout for my new music I got coming. You guys can check me out at patreon.com/JerichoSpits. I hope you guys can... I'm sorry. patreon.com/JerichoRose. That's J3RICHO and then ROS3. So it's Jericho Rose, but put threes for the E's. And I appreciate it if you go there and you can become a patron and help sponsor the movement and sponsor my podcast and, you know, what I got going on right now. I'm getting back into the studio, working on a new album project. I scrapped the Jericho Spitz LP, and I got a new project coming. I can't even tell you the name of it yet because it's very unique and I don't want anybody to steal it. So I'm not going to say the name of the album until I drop it, but it's dope. And I'm going to have a lot of love music on there for you guys. It's going to be all love and positivity and consciousness. It's going to be no more conforming. It's going to be no more that I'm done with anything that's not coming from my heart. And my heart is all love. And that's all I got for you guys. So I just want to say thanks to everybody who's been supporting my movement. You know, I appreciate all the love. I appreciate you sharing my podcast on your page, telling your friends about it, anybody that you know that's interested in higher consciousness or joining the dialogue of higher consciousness or learning about higher consciousness, man, feel free to add them to the group or either send them a link to it, tell them to join the group. or either just send them a link to the YouTube channel or maybe the anchor.fm page. But, you know, it's all about getting the word out and letting people know that we're here. I appreciate you guys for coming. Thanks a lot. I'm going to go ahead and end this now with all the shameless plugging and stuff and get on about my night. Let y'all get on about y'all night. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please leave a comment if you have anything else you want to say about it, and we'll continue the dialogue next week when I show up with my beloved Michelle. I love you guys. Have a great night. I'm Jericho Rose. This is the THC Show, and I love you guys.